Good morning, everybody. How are you? I tell you what, this is one of those Sundays where I got to see each of you as I turned to pray for you in worship and just was filled with so much of the joy of the Lord. It's just a blessing to see all of you this morning. And for everybody online, I always, after Sunday mornings, I'll always go back and look at the comments and see what the Lord's doing in your life and pray for you. So please feel free, leave comments, let us know how to be praying. We're glad that you are with us. We're going to be in the book of James, everyone, and we're going to kick off a series on the book of James. And today, we're going to really talk about the person who God used to write it, because you can't really understand anything about what he says in James if you don't get a little bit of his life, which I think is very powerful. I'm going to ask you a really practical but a very spiritually, eternally important question right now to start off our time, and it's this. What do you want to get out of this summer? What's the goal? Just going to have a summer? Most people are like, you know what I want this summer? I want a break. That is what I'd like out of summer. That's the common answer. Well, the scripture says every season of life from God has a purpose. So I want to ask you again. What do you want to get out of this summer? I'll tell you what, God wants to do a lot more in your life than just give you a break. Now, I think if the truth be told, we always look for summer as a time, oh, I just can't wait, I'm just worn out, and I'd like to be refreshed, right? Never before have we come up to a summer where we've meant that more. The last 17, 18 months have been absolutely absurd and crazy. And we need to go from worn out to renewed. Amen. We need it, right? And this, God's got more than just, hey, I'm going to give you a break. He wants to renew you. And so we're going to look at this word, because if you notice the very first words of James, it's in just the very first words here, and I'm going to read just out of my Bible here, and I'll read a little bit more than what's on the screen. But just hear what James says, and hear who he's talking to. Chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, important word coming up, scattered among the nations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. What's the result of everything you've gone through? You're going to be not lacking anything. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded. Here's an important word coming up. And unstable in all they do. James is writing to a group of people who are scattered. That's not good. They're scattered. They're not established. They're not feeling good. They're not building on progress. They're not making it forward. They're scattered. They're recovering. They're trying to figure it out. They're just trying to like get stable in their life. And they're going through trials. And James is a person who says, I've got a way for you to find joy. I've got a way for you to be renewed. You can go from being unstable to absolutely unstoppable. Listen to what God has said to me that I want to share with you. You and I, that's the call. We want to go from worn out to renewed, from just absolutely tired to transformed. And the goal of this summer is not, I need a break. The goal of this summer is, God, renew me, revitalize me, fill me so that I don't just get a break. I actually walk through it mature, lacking nothing. You can take a break and still have nothing after your break. But when God renews you, you don't just get a break. You don't just kind of recover. You end up with more. And that's what God wants to do in us this season. That's what this summer is for. I've called this series the Summer on the James because last year, our family always makes summer goals. We read a book together that I've, as dad, have wanted to share, sensing what my kids need and what my family needs. We'll have different fun things to do. And one of our goals last summer was how many different ways we could get to the James River and have fun. That was our little goal in the summer. We just found all these different ways. Let's get to the James. And let's show, why? Because the James is awesome. Like, what a gift. So close to us, right? I mean, a little dangerous, like don't get hurt, all right? But like fun. And we just found all these different spots we could go to. All summer long, I've got all these pictures. And you know, I could be worn out and everything could be, you know, just crazy and just, I've got too much going on. No, ma'am, we would get away and we would jump in, right? And the beauty and the power and the life of the James, when I came back, like, man, that was awesome. I'm feeling better. I didn't just take a break. I got refreshed. Well, I thought about the book of James. I thought about the last 18 months, about all the things the world is talking about. I said, Lord, this James right here has just as much power to refresh us. But I've got to do what? I got to choose to get away. I got to choose to jump in. And so that's what we're going to do. We're gonna get away some. And in two Sundays from now, we're going to begin a verse-by-verse daily study on the book of James. If you did Romans with us in the beginning of January, we're going to do the book of James. Two Sundays from now, we're going to begin that. But we're just going to kind of get everybody on the same page for this first 2 weeks. And then we're going to make the goal of the summer, God, I'm going to get away from everything. I'm not going to just take a break. I'm going to get away and I'm going to jump in to the power of God to change my life and be renewed. Now, if you're going to do that, then you've got to start studying this book. You got to choose to start seeing what it's all about. And if you're going to understand this book, you got to understand the person God used to write it. And if you want to understand the person God used to write it, we're going to go a little deeper than verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. James calls himself a servant, really almost a slave, a bond slave. Like, I'm just God's. And not just God the Father, but, and we're going to understand why this is so significant, of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is what he calls himself. I call James the comeback king. This dude, he has a comeback. He goes from being worn out. He goes from being defeated. He goes from failure to being someone who writes what historians will say is actually the first book of the New Testament written in terms of chronological order of when it was written. This is it right here. This is the first one that was written. He goes to being the head of the church. What happens in this guy's life? Well, you've got to understand his story, and if you want to understand his story, where do you start? You always start, if you want to understand someone's story, understand a little bit of their family background, right? So in James' case, it's actually super important, like his siblings. So, and I don't know if you're a fan of like birth order and how the personalities touch base on like when you were born, and you know, but I actually think it's pretty good, and you know, not always perfect, but pretty good. So how many firstborns do we have in the room? Raise your hand, firstborns. Okay, for all my firstborns, just relax. Okay, let's relax. The whole world does not have to be solved. You are not responsible for everything. Okay, just relax a little bit, firstborns. I am one of them. Okay, all right. Secondborns, raise your hand. Okay, secondborns, everything is not a competition. All right, you don't have to win at everything. All right, I know you're always trying to keep up with the oldest. It's always kind of like, I get that, but just relax. This is not a competition this morning. All right. How many babies we got? youngest in the family. All right, guys, we love you, but the world does not revolve around you. All right, just like there are other people in the universe besides you. Let's think of, okay, I don't know. Of course, the generalities, I don't know if that's true about you, but actually for James, it's actually pretty significant, because as much as we can tell, with pretty much pretty good accuracy, he was a second born. Got some drive. Got some keep up. It's important to know he's second born, but who was the older brother? Yeah, try that one on for size. Mark chapter 6, talking about Jesus. Isn't this Mary's son, Jesus, and the brother of James, this James? The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at Jesus. Jesus said to them, talking about his life with James, only in his hometown, among his own relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. I want you to think about that. Try having Jesus for an older brother. How do you think that went? I can only imagine that one. Like, James, why can't you be like your older brother? Really? We're going to go there, Mom? Like that? That one's going to work? Okay, who made the mess? James? Well, we know it wasn't Jesus. Don't make me pull this donkey over and deal with you guys. But Mom, it was Jesus. Let's be honest, it wasn't Jesus. And Jesus, stop praying for your brother right now. Really annoys him. Like, that's not making it better. Okay, I know you're sincere, but like, hey, James, would you mind? I forgot the bread. And it's like, don't worry, Mom, I already multiplied what you had. It's always making me look bad. This is James. This is his life growing up. He's the second oldest, and Jesus is his older brother. Talk about, like, having an inferiority complex. Like, talk about trying to live up and feeling like you never can. And actually, what the scripture shows us is that it does not go well for James when he's growing up. I mean, Mark 3, when Jesus' family heard that Jesus was nearby, they went to take charge of him, for they thought he is out of his mind. That's his family thinking. John chapter 7, remember when his brothers are trying to talk to him about going to the feast, and Jesus saying, not yet? What does it say? For even his own brothers did not believe in him. This is James. James is someone who's growing up around godliness and feels like he can never live up to it, never understand it. And a matter of fact, if you really want to think about how this went, let's think about Jesus on the cross when he looks at his mom and says, John, here's your mother. Here's your son. Mary has another son. Where is he? Not there. Most Bible scholars surmise, trying to piece together biblical evidence, that most likely James was kind of like, enough with all of you. And he's not even there on Jesus' most painful day. Jesus got to find someone else to take care of Mom, because James not there. That's James. And yet, if we keep tracking his story, we'll see something happen to him, because by Acts chapter 1, he is among all those who are praying together. He's among the day of Pentecost. And if we keep reading in Acts 15, he's actually the head of the church that kind of helps Paul and Peter and the Jews and the Gentiles figure out what they're going to do. And in Galatians 1 and 2, Paul references him as one of the three pillars of the early church. It's definitely Peter, it's John, and then it's James. What happens to this guy? What happens to someone who literally, you could just picture, think about some of the ongoing conflicts in family and kind of like just talk about being worn out and done and like that's forget it. Here's James, and somehow he goes from not even being with his brother, not even believing in his brother, to being someone who says, I am a servant of God and of the Lord, my brother, Jesus Christ. What happens to him? How does he go from so worn out from the situation and from it never getting better and he never feels like he can live up and this doesn't work to, how does he go to that? How does he go to, man, I'm his servant? Well, I tell you what, there's some real clear thoughts, and I want to encourage you this morning that if you're in that, like, this just doesn't work, and this is, I'm just worn out, but I'm kind of done. Enough. How does this change? I want you to think about the person, and when you read James, and that my encouragement is take a chapter a day this week and just read through it. We'll go verse by verse pretty soon. Just read through it and think about his life as he writes. Because there's some things that happen to James. And the first is this. He encounters the cross, and really he stops blaming everybody else. You see, we have a way that we live in this world, and we're on like, these people aren't doing right, and those people aren't right, and if people would have treated me right, and if this was like this, and if that was like that, that I'd be okay. But the cross says, no, Sean, it's not everybody else, it's you. Like James at some point recognized, I didn't care about this. I didn't even bother to be there. This is, and he was there for me. That, my, and I want you to think about this, James in his particular story saying, that was for me. My brother did that for me. Well, in case you don't catch the connection, the scripture in Romans 8 says, those whom God has chosen, he set apart to become like his son so that the son would be the older brother of you. Jesus gave his life to be your older brother in the faith. And there's something about Christianity and something about religion where we start thinking about everybody else and how everybody else is wrong, whatever it is, and the cross, then we look at the cross and say, wait a minute, it's just me. And we stop looking at everybody else. And we just say, okay, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for it for me. When sometimes our Christianity becomes about everybody else, that's not what it's about. You know what? That'll wear you out. But when you get back to the cross, we're going to take communion in a moment. When you get back to the cross, I'm like, wait a minute. Forget about everybody else. This guy needs grace and mercy. That's powerful. I love this next one. He absolutely encountered the resurrection, and he stopped condemning himself. The cross breaks us down, but the resurrection breaks us through. I want you to read 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that Jesus appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500. Then he appeared to James. After all they went through, after the how you ever gonna, I mean, I don't know exactly how this goes with not understanding a resurrection before it happens, but how are you ever going to be like, I wasn't there? How did I not do that? I got to imagine he felt like the biggest failure in all the world. And then what does Jesus do in the days before his ascension? He goes and finds James. Just James. Not James in the crowd. Not James in the church service. He goes find James wherever he's at. Says, hey, bro, I still love you. I have grace for you. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 15, just verse 17, he will say, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then we are still in our sin. But Christ did raise from the dead. We are no longer condemned. We are free. Let me remind you what Ephesians 2 says, for it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not the result of your own efforts, but God's gift. So ironic, the more we try to save ourselves, the more we end up in self-condemnation. Because we can't. We don't save ourselves. And any attempt to do it, maybe it lasts for a week, a month, maybe we pull it off for a few years, it never lasts. We end up, when we depend on ourselves, we end up in condemnation of ourselves. But our faith is that Jesus, it's not what we did, it's what he did. It's God's gift so that no one can boast. God has made us what we are. Not us. We haven't made us what we are. He's made us what we are. And in our union with Christ Jesus, he has created us. And man, no matter how much you failed, no matter how much you feel like you can't move forward in life, you need to choose to believe what Jesus has done for you. He's created for us a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. Isn't that good news? Like, he's the one who does it. And the cross breaks us down, and the resurrection breaks us through. And then, let's not forget, James is there on the day of Pentecost. He's there. And he doesn't just know he's forgiven, he becomes full. The cross might break us down, the resurrection breaks us through, but man, once we're filled with the Spirit, it's bring it on. I'm ready. Come on, Lord. Use my life. Let me tell a bunch of people going through trials, hey, count it all joy. Just don't get double-minded. Remember the cross. Remember the resurrection. Remember the power of the Spirit. Don't get double-minded. I know you don't see it. I don't know how it's going to happen. Count it all joy in the midst of your trials. You're scattered. But look, the testing of your faith is going to produce perseverance, and that perseverance is going to finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Don't be double-minded, unstable. Instead, be unstoppable. Stay focused. You're worn out. Get back to the things that are most important. Don't let faith be about all these debates and all these things. It's about the cross. It's about resurrection. Is not just for Easter Sunday, right? He's risen today, right? He's with me today. He sits at the right hand of the Father today, and he's with me through the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to go from worn out to renewed? Get back to those three things. Get back to those three things, no matter where you are in your story. And just look at the very last thing James writes. Wonder why he writes it. It's chapter 5, verse 19. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Huh. Wonder why James decided that was the last thing he wanted to say. Because someone did that for him. His big brother. Went and found him. Said, hey, I'm alive. I'm alive and you're free. You're forgiven. Join me. That's God's call for us today. You have on your seats communion. We're going to take a moment to think of this gift. Jesus gave us this gift so that when we started getting worn out, when life started to become more than those three things, we'd get back to what life is. It's not about my job. It's not about those people. It's not about my circumstance. God cares for all these things. He's not leaving us by ourselves in those things. It's about the cross. It's about the resurrection. It's about the Spirit. Christianity is not a political concept, though it has everything to say what a nation should do. It's not some self-help. It's not psychology. It's the reality of the universe. That the God who created you and who created me, whether we knew him or not, loved us and designed us to be with him. And when we're trapped in our own selfishness and sin, he sent his own son to pay the price. And then he rose again for our freedom. And he didn't just rise again to forgive us. He rose again to fill us with the Spirit. Man, can you imagine James' storyline? My mom always, my dad, Jesus thinks he's so this. Nobody really understands, like, how about me? How about... And then James ran into the cross, the grace of the resurrection, and the power of the Spirit. And he turned into a guy who said, hey, let's listen twice as much as we talk. Let's stop talking a good game. Let's take care of the orphans and the widows. Let's not just say we believe. Let's live it out. Think about his story and start reading through this book. Because James is talking about his life. And that life, God's using to talk to us today. So I'm just going to encourage you as we start to move into communion right now. God, if I've started to make it about everybody else and I haven't seen my own unworthiness, my own need for mercy, my own need for forgiveness, Lord, take me back to the cross right now. Lord, if it's all been about, I just can't forgive myself. If it's all been about depending on me and condemning me, God, it's about the resurrection. And Lord, if it's somehow about, I'm trying. It's like, hey, it's about the Spirit. What God began in the Spirit, don't try to finish in the flesh. Not going to work. So I'm going to ask you to stand. When you work on this communion set, don't bend the plastic tab. Just kind of brush that clear plastic and you'll eventually get it. Okay? And then after that, just kind of thumb through for that foil as well, and we'll all pray for you that you get it open. I'm going to ask Pastor Brian to lead us in prayer. And let's get back to the cross. Let's get back to the resurrection. Let's get back to the work of the Spirit in our lives. And then we'll take communion.